Hey, what's up, people? We got a special guest today, man. The topic today is going to be being a parent, single parenthood, and what it's like, relationships, and much, much more. But without further ado, we have a special guest, and she go by the name of...
Snow 617.
Okay. Say that again for the people.
Snow 617.
So Snow 617, first and foremost, I'm going to ask you, where are you from? Let the people know where you from.
I'm from the small state of Ohio.
Okay, so she's from Ohio. Okay, so how is it out there in Ohio?
I mean, I've been born and raised here in Ohio, so it's a very family-oriented city where I am from. I don't really have too many complaints. I have a big family here. I mean, I was born and raised here, so I guess I'll say it is what it is, you know.
All right, so for a tourist or somebody that never been to Ohio, what would be, like, a place you'll suggest them to go, like, a tourist or somebody that's not from the city? Like, what would be something to do?
Well, every weekend we have celebrities come down to Prometica Park downtown and they give a free concert. I would suggest for a tourist to come visit. And when they do come visit, make sure it's on a weekend, because we have this every weekend and it's always a celebrity and it's a whole free weekend concert for the whole entire weekend.
Oh, okay. And that's like, is that just something that they do, like festival type thing, just in a summertime, or is that like all year round?
It's not all year round. It's just for the summertime. And it's a lot of times it's like R&B singers, and sometimes we get rappers, but most of the time it's R&B singers. But the good part about it is that it brings so many people together, and it's a free concert and it's a 3-day weekend concert. So I think that's amazing. If you are here in the city of Toledo, Ohio, hopefully it's the weekend and you can come through and see what it's all about.
Okay. So if somebody coming to your city, what's a good place you'll suggest them to go eat? Like, are y'all, do y'all got any foods that y'all famous for? Because, you know, I'm from Philly, so one of our foods that we're famous for is like the Philly cheesesteak. Like that's like a staple, or like a water ice, you know what I mean?
Yes. So here we have, honestly, we have a lot of soul food restaurants here, and it's like independent contractors and people that start from the home and they get a business, and that's really big here, and they do the food truck things. That's really big here. We don't have any restaurants that like were super big for. I would say like the normal, like a Texas Roadhouse or J. Alexander's, or I don't know, we have like the Famous Days, Longhorn Steakhouse, the norm. I don't know if every city or state have those places, but those are the ones that we have here.
All right. So what's your favorite food truck or spot, soul food place you like to eat at?
It's one called J. Mays. It's a spot called J. Mays, and it's you can get any kind of soul food there. I mean, any kind. You name it, they got it. And if they don't have it, they will cook it. But me personally, I am a big seafood eater. So we have Sissy Crab. We have Red Crab here. And we have a place called Crab Island. And I've eaten at every last one of those places, and I definitely enjoy Sissy Crab the most.
Okay, you said, what's them crabs again?
Sissy Crab.
Okay.
Red Crab.
Uh-huh.
And Crab Island.
Okay. So besides the crabs, they got clams, steak. I mean clams and shrimp. They got some shrimp.
Oh yeah, they have all of it, and all of it is raw, and you pick it out. And a lot of times, I get this one seafood place. It's called Crab Island. They have everything on ice, raw, and you show them, and you can pick out what it is that you want, and it's cooked right then and there.
Oh, all right, that's dope. That's dope. It ain't nothing here like getting some food fresh off the sea and eating it. Like, yo, the taste is so different, man. Or something like some food that's real fresh and it's like cooked right in front of you. Yeah, it ain't nothing like that, man. It's a big
deal. Well, they do. No, that's what it is. They cook it. You choose whatever it is that you want in the platter that you order, and they cook it right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it is fresh, but I don't know if it's not fresh out of the water. I see. No. But yeah.
That's what's up, man. So she just gave us a little introduction on if you come into her city and whatever, and where you can eat at, good spots you can eat at and all like that. But I just want to know, are you into any businesses? Do you got your own business? Do you want to pursue your own business or anything like
of
that?
Of course I would like to pursue my own business, but we're not going to get into that right now. You told me that we were going to do a thing about being a single mother, single parent, so let's kind of stick to that.
All right, we're going to go back. So,
because you're going there.
Yeah. You know, like I'm a freak. That's the part I forgot to
tell you. You forgot, huh?
No, I forgot to tell you that I'm kind of like a freestylist podcaster. I'm a freestyler, man.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind getting into that, honestly. So don't get me wrong when I said that. I definitely don't mind getting into that, but I just don't want to get into that right now because everything ain't for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. With that being said, so how is it? Like, you said you... How old are you?
I am 38.
Okay, cool. And you just having your first seed from not too long ago from my understanding, right?
Yes, at 35. I had my first child at 35.
Okay. So that's good. That's rare. That's really rare. What made you wait so long? Or, you know, because most females be like, yo, by the time I'm 30, yeah, I want my kids to be self-sufficient or damn near grown. You know what
right.
I'm saying? What made you like, oh, let me put the brakes on. I want to wait until I'm...
To be honest with you, I just really never, like, said I wanted to put the brakes on. And my whole thing was I wanted to be with my child's father. That was one of the main things. So I used to always say the right one. So who is the right one? You know, I can never be like, my thing was, I always said I wanted to be with my child's father. I want to raise my child in a home with two parents. But who is the right one? So it kind of happened, and I was grateful that it happened because, like I said, I was 35 when I found out I was pregnant. So at that point in the game, I didn't think I was going to have no children. So I wanted to be married. And I wanted to be with someone that was, we were going to be together for longevity. So that's pretty much why I waited.
Oh, okay. All right. And how is it? Like, yeah, you definitely right, though. Like, because people change every day. You feel me? And, you know, people change. Like, I say like to say this, people change like my laundry clothes. You feel me? So,
yeah.
I mean... It was meant to be, will be, and was not, will not be.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, how is it being a single mom? And before you had the baby, did you have like a sort of like a fairy tale type of perception of having a kid?
I wouldn't necessarily say fairy tale. I mean, because that's the American way. That's the, not necessarily say the American dream, but that's how I was brought up. You know, you brought up to raise your family, you know, be with somebody for a very long time. Y'all eventually y'all get married, y'all have kids, and that's pretty much how I was raised. So naturally, that's what it is that I wanted as a young lady. I don't want to be, you know, at 38 years old, being somebody's baby mama. I wanted to be married, you know, and I wanted to be able to show my child the right way. So I didn't set out to be a single mother. It happened that way. And believe it or not, I choose to, I'm okay with doing that, because with her father, it comes with a lot of drama. So, and you would never think like a man would cause so much drama. You know, a lot of times you hear women cause a lot of drama, but like with her father, he dramatized. So I'm okay with being a single mother. It get hard sometimes just because my whole life had to change. And for so many years, I was just so used to just doing me and not having another responsibility. So like I went from working full-time in nursing to having to work part-time or just contingent, just because for one, I don't trust everybody with my daughter, but two, you can't trust everybody. And these are the most important years of her life right now. You know, yeah, it's important. Her, the rest of her life is going to be important, but right now she's so young, her brain is soaking up so much stuff, it's like a sponge. So it's important for me to be attentive to her right now. And then you can't surround your child with everybody's kid, because whatever this another kid is being taught, they're going to use whatever it is that they're being taught with someone else. And every kid ain't taught the right thing. So my job as a mother, a single mother, is just to protect my daughter wholeheartedly. So it's not easy being a single mother. I will just say that. And anybody that's out there that is a single mother, I take my hat off to y'all, because for so many years, I went without having any kids, and I could never relate. Like my friend, she had 3 kids, and I could not relate to her situation. Like I had no clue, to be honest. I didn't know what it was like. And me with just one kid, and I think about it all the time, and I be like, damn, you know, I take my hat off to her. So any woman that is in here right now that is watching, I take my hat off to you, and don't give up, and keep doing what y'all doing as single mothers, if that's what y'all are. And don't let nobody tell y'all nothing different. And don't let nobody tell y'all how to raise y'all children either. And be the best mother that you can be. And that's pretty much it that I have to say about being a single mother.
All right, shout out to my single fathers out here. You feel me? Shout out to y'all.
And we don't want to leave them out neither. I have a friend in here, Sir Big One. He is a single father. I definitely want to give a shout out to him. I take my hat off to that man too, because he is a single father and he honed it down for years. And he's straight out of Ohio too. So shout out to him.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of single fathers out here, but I don't know. I just be feeling like, I don't know, like, it always feel like moms, single moms, they just, like, you don't see fathers, I don't know, I guess that's, it's different when you're a man, like, you don't do that, you don't get that, you know what I mean?
No, it's like rare to see a single father, it's very rare, but to know one, to know that there are single fathers out there, and there are men, you don't find too many men that's raising their kids and then doing it alone. So that's a lot, you know what I'm saying? I definitely take my hat off to that man. And it comes a time and a place where as a single mother you do need your mental space. So please women, please make sure you take the time out in the day to get your mental together when you are a single mother, because it gets difficult sometimes.
So I always say this: it take a man to do the approach. It take a man to do approaching. It take the woman. It takes a woman to do the choosing. So you say your baby father, the guy you chose on, you said he's drama filled. He got all his drama in the beginning. How long you been dealing with him? That's one question right now.
So in the beginning, okay, so this wasn't the plan to talk about him, but I'll touch bases on him just real quick. I'll tap into that. So in the beginning, I met him. I moved out of town, and I met him, and we were friends for like maybe 1.5 years, 2 years, and then after that, we started dating. So maybe like 1 year later, we had moved in with each other, and things happened, and I became pregnant, and I decided the best thing for me was to come back home. So I moved back home, and I had my daughter here where I was from, and I've been raising her on my own ever since then, and that's that.
Okay. The face expression, like, damn, nigga. But yeah, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But listen. When
As
I
you
do,
know.
huh? Listen,
Huh?
listen. When I do what I do, I'm good at what I do. But
And that's what's happening. There's nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with what you do at all.
hey, man, we're gonna have to get this single father up here. We're gonna have to get his POV
Yes, we
on the
are. I
FaceTime.
wish my dude, Sir Big One, was in here. Where you at? I asked if you were still in here. Are you still in here?
We're
Because
gonna
he's a
get you. We're
single
gonna get
father,
you.
and he's a single father of more than, and I'm gonna say more than 3 kids.
Okay.
So let's just say that.
I'm gonna save
And
him.
he holds it down for his shorty.
Yeah, I'm gonna get him on the next round, young man. I'm just trying to get the single
Yes, you
mom
have
side.
to.
But my other question to you is, so you knew he, so you didn't see this, you didn't see red flags in the beginning that you just
Well,
ignored?
listen. Listen, let me tell you something. So, people can wear a mask, right? And some people that's used to wearing masks and are very good at wearing masks, they are good at it. That's like a job for them. So when they get you to the point where they want you or the position that they want you, and then they'll expose who they really are. So at that point, when he exposed who he really was, it was like I was in too deep. But it was a decision that I had to make. And I decided me. And I got up out of here. So let's just say that.
Are you gonna have some more kids or are you done?
It's me.
You gonna have some more kids or are you done?
It's called one and done now, and it's called one and done for now. Now, if I meet that man, and who's to say? I might meet a man, we might get together. He might not have no kids, he might want a child. I mean, we get married, and I stay married. Because I want a solid foundation. I need to know for sure you're gonna be here. So, and then I'm a woman. I deserve to be married. I deserve to have a good man. And I would hope that the man that I choose, he wants a good woman in his life. So, vice versa. So, yeah, I'm not gonna have any more kids, but I will say this, I'm up in age. So, pregnancies with older women, a lot of times it's high risk. The thing called preeclampsia, and women that are older, a lot of times they get that when they're pregnant. So I was blessed. I got it at the end of my pregnancy. I had no signs, no symptoms, no anything. I found out I was pregnant in I was gonna say my fourth trimester. I was in my second trimester when I found out I was pregnant. So, or I was 4 months, going on 5 months when I found out I was pregnant, because I still stayed the same exact size. I want to say my butt grew a little bit, so I carried her more so in my butt in the back area. But I think that was the most part that you could tell. And I really didn't have no signs or no symptoms. Like, I hear women that say they have morning sicknesses, and I didn't experience none of that. So my pregnancy was great. I had a wonderful pregnancy up until the end. And even at the end, it wasn't bad. I want to say just, the delivery part. Just the different IVs and that stuff. because I had preeclampsia and they had to keep my blood pressure down. So just with older women, you'd be at a high risk of carrying a baby. I definitely was blessed, and my daughter is amazing, and I wouldn't have it no other way.
Okay, I got a question, and I hear this a lot.
You always got a question. Okay.
So, my next question to you is, postpartum. Do you know any women that suffer from that? Have you ever experienced any of that?
I definitely experienced postpartum before, and I didn't know that's what that was. I did not know. I had no clue. But I will tell you this, along with postpartum, a lot of women get postpartum and don't know. But I had so many things to deal with after my pregnancy. Like, I ended up getting Bell's palsy after my pregnancy. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but it's something that attacks the nerves in your face, so it caused my face to actually shift. So my face, if you can't see, like, how my smile is, it's not straight, it's crooked, because I still have Bell's palsy. And it's something that attacks the nerves in your face, and you get it through stress. So with me being stressed of having my daughter, I had my daughter early, and she was a preemie. So I was just stressed. When I was released from the hospital, she was still in there. So I was stressed, and I still had a visiting nurse to come and see me and everything. But
so what is one of the greatest things about being a mother?
What is one of the greatest things about being a mother?
Yes.
For me, it's the fact that I carried this young lady in my stomach for 8.5 months, and to watch her grow and become a different individual every single day, because she does something new every single day. And the fact that I was a part of her, that's amazing to me. That's so amazing to me.
Hey, what's up? We got a special guest today. Go by the name of RZA Butter. Yeah, you know I mean, aka RZA Taboo. And I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the people where you from, and a little bit about your background, just a little bit about yourself. Go ahead,
bro. Hey everybody, I'm RZA T. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm a mother, I'm 34, and I'm looking forward to, you know, doing my podcast. Shedding light on things that, you know, us as a people, we tend to, you know, sweep under the rug or just look over. I'm happy to be here with my guy, you know, and look forward to getting some things popping.
Yeah, so my first question to you is, what got you interested in even wanting to take the path to be a podcaster or get in a podcast game?
Because I love to talk, to be honest. I just love talking, and I'm myself, I'm an open book. I don't really have too much to hide. I just love to talk, and I love meeting people. And I just love, you know, shedding light on things, once again, that I believe that we tend to sweep under the rug, that we don't really feel so comfortable talking about, especially within relationships and parenting as well.
So, like, give me like a couple examples of what would be like a taboo situation. It could be relationship, it could be parenting, whatever one you want to go with, and see which one and And just tell me like an example of like something that you seen coming up that is taboo that most people like don't really want to talk about, that that you're willing to like put your neck on the line and really just give the raw uncut truth about. And give the raw uncut truth about.
Yeah, number one for me is older men dating underage women. That happens a lot in our society, especially amongst the Black people community. I've seen that a lot growing up. So, men in their 30s dealing with 15, 16-year-old girls. Also, that's happening a lot within the family. A lot of families deal with that, where they have a male in the family that touches little girls. And instead of putting that man in his place or, you know, seeking prosecution, they tend to just sweep it under the rug. You know, they don't want to talk about that. Of course, because it's a family issue. And don't nobody want to really let everybody in on that. Like, that's a big secret that's been happening for decades. I've seen it, I've heard about it, and I've also had that happen in my family. So I'm willing to talk about it because I feel like it definitely needs to be talked about. It's still happening today. Except today, I think more so it's kind of being
public.
I think they're starting to accept it. It's starting to be accepted a little bit. And then another thing, I also want to shed light on that, because when it does come out, they don't blame the man. They always blame the girl. Even though she could be 14 or 15, that girl will always be blamed for the actions of a grown man. And that's not right. So I want to understand, why do we do that? Why do we not penalize that man for it instead of penalizing a little girl?
Okay. And I got to say this, and then I'm going to come back to that, what you just said. So before you had kids, did you have your reservations about the things, knowing what you know?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So did it like kind of put you in a situation where you felt like? So it kind of made you feel like uncomfortable and like just maybe like, you know what, I really want kids, but I want to be able to protect my kids. Did it make you like an overprotective parent, or were you the type of parent that give your kid the leeway and let them give them that rope and hang themselves to a certain degree?
I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I do consider myself very overprotective. A lot of the things that preferably women allow their children to do, especially with the girls, I don't allow my girls to do. Now, we all have free will. I do believe that. And there's only so much I can do to keep my kids, you know, to basically protect them. Because eventually they grow into their own person and they're able to do as they want. I can only do so much. But with seeing what I've seen growing up, it did. I always told myself that I would never like let any man outside of my kids' father to be around them, especially my girls, because of what I've seen.
Okay.
I don't just bring in around my kids, you know, because I don't know, even though I might like that guy, I don't really know him, you know. So whatever we do outside my home, right. And that's for the protection of my kids, until, you know, I really know that guy enough, well enough to bring him around my children.
Okay, that's.
But yeah, that played a part.
Okay, that what you're saying is very understandable. But to play devil's advocate, I would say, prime example, Charlamagne, he talked about it many a times, where he said he was molested. But you know, it seemed like, you know, it's like when a man do it, and I'm not for the underage thing. That shit is crazy. That's a no-no. But what I'm saying is, if it's flipped around the other way, it's looked at different. Why do you think it's that way? I want to hear your point of view.
So when a woman,
underage boy,
underage boy, yeah.
So the underage boy is dealing with
because they look at mother as maternal. So they expect, society expects so much more out of us. Though they dumb us down like we are nothing, and we don't have a safe, so, you know, but at the same time, we are penalized a lot more for them than men are, especially in that type of situation. And I think it's because we're women. They look at us, oh, we're supposed to be perfect. We're the motherly figures. Why would we do something like that? You know?
Okay, but are you a firm believer?
And they expect, society expects more out of us.
Yeah, could you repeat that? You kind of went out on me. I don't know, like, you kind of broke up on me, but if you could repeat that one time for the people.
Oh, I believe it's different when it's a woman doing it, because it's just that we are women, and in society wants us to be perfect. They look at us as we're perfect, you know. They expect more out of us as women, though they dumb us down a lot, as if our thoughts, opinions don't matter. At the same time, they put us on this pedestal, and they want us to be so perfect, a perfect mother, a perfect woman, a perfect work, a perfect everything. Because, I mean, women are, you know, we are an importance in life. We do create. I mean, we give life. So with that, it's like if a woman is out here having sex with a little boy, she's definitely going to get penalized for it more than a man would if he out here dealing with little girls, because we're maternal. You know, we're mothers of this earth. So they don't expect us to do anything like that. So that's why I think women get more beat up for it than when men do it.
Okay. Well, are you a firm believer in right is right and wrong is wrong, regardless of the circumstance?
Yes.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay, so with that being said, because this right here is a real serious topic, a serious matter. So with that being said, the way my perception of it is, if right is right and wrong is wrong, then that woman shouldn't catch no slack, because she's a 30-year-old woman dealing with a 15-year-old boy. It should be dealt with the same consequence. But like you said, in society, the way they look at things as a society is not like that. It's kind of like a double standard. Because what if that boy didn't want that woman to even interact with him in that way? What if? You know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's something to really think about. And
yeah, it is. And then also with that, men, it's funny because when men do it, you know, like it always gets put under the rug. Like eventually it come out, but we've seen it so many times in the media, on the news and stuff, where men have been sleeping with underage women for years. It's been going on for years, and then finally something comes about, and then it just all erupts. But where I'm getting at is how it goes on for so long and nothing is being said about it. Because this stems back like from slavery days, where we would give our daughters to a man 13, 14 years old and give them to a 25, 30 year old man to be a wife. That was legal once upon a time. And so sometimes I think to myself, like, maybe that's why society don't really do what they need to do, even though they done made it a law where you can't have sexual intercourse with anyone under the age of 18. That's a law. That's law. But yet and still, it's continuously being done. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe though they put the law out there, but it's still like it had been going on for so long before a law was even made. That was legal once upon a time for men to be able to date and marry 13, 14-year-old girls. And I think it was more so in the Black community. That movie, The Color Purple.
Right.
Yeah, that's a movie. But that shedded light on how it really was in those times.
Okay. And to piggyback off of what you're saying, remember when you was talking about the Nigeria? Because that's what that made me think about. Remember you were telling me about the Nigeria, how the men was doing the same thing? Could you just dabble in that for me a little bit and just give the people your POV on that also? And what you have found out in their culture?
Yes, so in Africa, and specifically in Nigeria, they are allowed to marry at the age of 13. Their philosophy is, if a woman is ready to be married at the age of 13, and they do that because they feel as if she's not married at 13 or in a few years, that she will become a hoe. Or she will become pregnant out of wedlock. So to prevent that, they go on ahead and they give their daughters to men at that age. So they are doing what I once again said has been done for decades. This was legal. And I don't agree with it. I'm a mother. My oldest is 14. I don't agree with men having sexual intercourse with girls under 18. Number one, because, and I asked the Nigerian ladies, you know, like, what if they get pregnant? Because though she's 13, and we know a lot of girls, especially nowadays, they start their periods, their menstruals, a lot earlier. They could start them as early as 9, 10 years old. The moment that you have a menstrual, you are able to bear a child. So, but that doesn't mean you should, because it takes a lot to carry a child. Your body is not fully developed, though you did get your menstrual, you know, because Mother Nature says when you get that, you are now a woman. That's just what it is. But at the same time, you are not completely fully developed. You know what I mean? So if that girl gets pregnant at the age of 13, she's still growing. Her pelvis is not mature enough to even push down a child, to deliver a child. It comes all the time. I know plenty of girls in my community who had kids at 14, 15 years old. And by the grace of God, they did have the child, you know, the child didn't lose the child is what I'm saying. But a lot of those kids had complications.